At length he spoke again. "This is no time for angry words, master, or for considering weighty plans of change. There's work to do. I serve you still, though after a while I may think again of your words and go north with any that will follow me." Then he strode off to help in the ordering of the camps, and in the care of the sick and the wounded. But the master scowled at his back as he went, and remained sitting on the ground. He thought much, but said little, unless it was to call loudly for men to bring him fire and food. Now everywhere Bard went, he found talk running like fire among the people concerning the vast treasure that was now unguarded. Men spoke of the recompense for all their harm that they would soon get from it, and wealth over and to spare with which to buy rich things from the south, and it cheered them greatly in their plight. That was as well, for the night was bitter and miserable. Shelters could be contrived for few. The master had one, and there was little food. Even the master went short. Many took ill of wet and cold and sorrow that night, and afterwards died, who had escaped uninjured from the ruin of the town. And in the days that followed, there was much sickness and great hunger. Meanwhile Bard took the lead, and ordered things as he wished, though always in the master's name, and he had a hard task to govern the people and direct the preparations for their protection and housing. Probably most of them would have perished in the winter that now hurried after autumn, if help had not been to hand. But help came swiftly, for Bard at once had speedy messengers sent up the river to the forest to ask the aid of the King of the Elves of the Wood, and these messengers had found a host already on the move, although it was then only the third day after the fall of Smaug. The elven king had received news from his own messengers and from the birds that loved his folk, and already knew much of what had happened. Very great indeed was the commotion among all things with wings that dwelt on the borders of the desolation of the dragon. The air was filled with circling flocks, and their swift-flying messengers flew here and there across the sky. Above the borders of the forest there was whispering, crying, and piping. Far over Mirkwood tidings spread. "Smaug is dead!" Leaves rustled and startled ears were lifted. Even before the Elven King rode forth, the news had passed west, right to the pine woods of the Misty Mountains. Bjorn had heard it in his wooden house, and the goblins were at council in their caves.
"That will be the last we shall hear of Thorin Oakenshield, I fear," said the king.